This is kissing man like a long walk home when the music stops.
Wow, it's hot here in the Love Shack. You're listening to WGXC Acra, Hudson, Catskill.
You can find out about so many local events, like the traditional Irish music session. Every Sunday, there's an open Irish music jam at the Shamrock House in East Durham from 2 to 5 p.m. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org and add your own event to the WGXC community calendar and have it read on the radio at 90.7 FM by going to WGXC.org and clicking on the community calendar.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how-do-eyes into here's-how-you-cans. Visit DedicatedPresentation.com or call 845-475-8465 for more information. Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Your audiovisual partner.
Wavefarm's WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of David Gorin of Brooklyn, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe in the WGXC newsroom with the WGXC Daily News for Thursday, May 18th. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. Roger Hannigan-Gilson reports in the Times Union that residents in the village of Kinderhook were warned by police to lock their houses and cars on May 16th. As a search for a man involved in an unspecified alleged criminal incident took place. Sheriff Don Kraft said state police continued the search May 17th with officers and a drone. Kraft said that the alleged criminal incident took place outside the county, but the suspect ended up in Columbia County. Village of Kinderhook Mayor Mike Abrams said the suspect was wanted for drug-related offenses in Rensselaer County. Abrams said the state police told him the suspect is a 26-year-old black man who is 6 feet, 1 inches tall, and weighs approximately 160 pounds. The state police and East Greenbush Police Department did not respond to the newspaper with comments. Anyone with any information is encouraged to call 911 or the state police at 518-851-3111. Read more about the story in the Times Union. Nancy Kern reports in Columbia Green Media that some Greene County lawmakers say they intend to declare a state of emergency because Republican governors in Florida and Texas and the Democratic mayor of New York City are busing migrants around the country and some might end up here. On May 15th, Catskill legislator Michael Bullock said at the Government Operations Committee meeting, quote, "We are not to expend any county funds for illegal immigrants brought to this county by New York City or any other county or municipality," unquote. Greene County currently does not have enough housing for its own homeless populations and not enough affordable housing for others. County officials have not taken any recent efforts to build any affordable housing. Governor Kathy Hochul and many Hudson Valley elected officials have identified an affordable housing crisis in the state. Read more about the story at HudsonValley360.com. Paul Kirby reports in the Daily Freeman that a report released this week by the Dutchess County Comptroller's Office said that a government lease of a luxury vehicle by former Republican Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro gave the, quote, "appearance of circumventing normal legislative approval as required by a purchase and public transparency," unquote. Dutchess County Comptroller Robin Lois, a Democrat, wrote the report and focused on an inventory of county vehicles between 2018 and 2023. A summary in the report said, quote, "This report also addresses the 2021 lease of a $75,876 Chevy Tahoe by the county executive and identifies the execution of said lease after a 2020 purchase denial as giving the appearance of circumventing normal legislative approval as required by a purchase and public transparency. Leasing decisions should be held to the same standards as any purchase in the procurement policy by, quote, assuring the prudent and economical use of the public monies in the best interests of taxpayers of Dutchess County," unquote, and to, quote, guard against extravagance, unquote. It is evident that the lease in question was not held to the same standard expected of all departments, unquote. Molinaro did not comment on the report, but his advisor Dave Catalfamo did, avoiding mentioning anything specific in the report, saying, quote, Mark Molinaro's fiscal stewardship as county executive is indisputable. He cut taxes, improved the county's bond rating, and left his successor with significant reserves. This audit has been extensively reported on and thoroughly explained well before its release, unquote. The report showed how previously county executive vehicles were purchased through bonding and budget requests that go through the legislature for approval, while Molinaro circumvented that process. Democrat Josh Riley, who lost to Molinaro in 2022 and has announced another campaign for the 19th Congressional District in 2024, said, quote, it's ironic that Mark Molinaro is lecturing voters about reckless spending, even as an independent audit concludes that he wasted taxpayers' hard-earned money on a luxury vehicle for himself, unquote. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. Tyler A. McNeil reports in the Daily Gazette that Republican Liz Joy will not run for a third time against the 20th Congressional District Democrat Paul Tonko. Joy lost in 2020 and 2022 to Tonko by a wide margin in the Capital Region District. Joy is a right-wing Republican who supports former President Donald Trump. Joy attended Trump's rally near the Capitol on January 6, 2021, though did not enter the House of Representatives during the attempted coup. Now Joy said on social media that she plans on turning attention to advocate for station-level, quote, election integrity, unquote, saying, quote, together we were able to bring serious national attention to the New York Capital Region 20th Congressional District, something that had never been done before. It is a direct result of citizen grassroots support, our strong common sense message, and daily interacting with the people that live here and work here, unquote. Albany County Republican Chair Randy Bashwinger said he was surprised that Joy won't run again, saying, quote, I'm sure we'll find somebody, but it's going to be tough to find anybody as strong as she was, unquote. Joy lost to Tonko by about a 55 to 45% margin in 2022. Even though she was beaten by about 30,000 votes, Joy's attorney requested an audit of the election, which the state denied. Joy claimed the state voter rolls have never been, quote, formally audited, unquote. But New York State Board of Elections spokesperson Jennifer Wilson said in an email that Joy is, quote, factually incorrect, unquote, on the auditing process. Republican Elise Stefanik, who represents the 21st District, called Joy a, quote, dear friend, unquote, and, quote, an inspiring patriot, unquote, and said, quote, I look forward to continuing to work with Liz Joy as she begins her next chapter to restore election integrity and to secure our elections in New York, unquote. Read more about this story in the Daily Gazette. And read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org.
And now here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Thursday, it will be sunny with a high near 64 degrees. Thursday night, mostly clear with a temperature low of around 42 degrees. And on Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 70 degrees. And Friday night, a chance of showers after 2 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 50 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
My people, what can I say? Say what I can. I saw it. But I didn't believe it. I didn't believe it, what I saw. Are we gonna live together? Together, are we gonna live? This is your Mr. Senior Love Daddy talking to you from We Love Radio 108 FM on your dial. And that's the triple truth, Ruth. Today's weather, hot! Wake up! Thank you.
Stations motion.
If you are hungry or just want to help community radio, come on out on Thursday, May 25th to Left Bank Ciders in Catskill to their community soup night. WGXC is organizing this night, Thursday, May 25th, with a live on-site broadcast, DJs, and soup. Come on out for a bowl of soup, conversation, and some music. Each Thursday night, Left Bank Ciders hosts a community soup night where volunteers make soup with proceeds benefiting a local nonprofit. All proceeds go to Waveform's WGXC 90.7 FM. On Thursday, May 25th, to Left Bank Ciders in Catskill from 5 to 7 p.m.
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Chocolate pigs are awesome.
I turned it down.
The only dogs can hear.
I turned it down.
Did you hear that?
No.
Yeah.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
Thomas Jefferson wrote, "The government closest to the people serves the people best." But this bill obliterates small government.
Texas State Senator Sarah Eckhart condemned the passage of a bill intended to strip local control from the state's largely Democratic-run cities and shift control to its Republican-run legislature. Critics say the bill could drastically limit local government's ability to make progressive rules regarding labor rights, predatory lending, and more. Supporters of the bill, including Governor Greg Abbott, say the bill is needed to provide statewide consistency for small businesses. A ban on abortions after 12 weeks will remain the law in North Carolina after the GOP-led legislature overrode Governor Roy Cooper's veto.
This vote shows that Republicans are completely unified in their assault on women's reproductive care.
Cooper pointed out the bill was never allowed public input or amendments. The ACLU said lawmakers are ignoring the democratic process in order to push through unpopular legislation against the will of the people. The Fifth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals began hearing arguments Wednesday in the Biden administration's efforts to overturn a Texas judge's decision banning the abortion medication mifepristone. A decision is not expected for weeks. The U.S. Supreme Court says the state of Illinois can keep its ban on assault weapons in place for now. The justices denied an emergency request challenging the law. Carrie Fliegler of Moms Demand Action Illinois says the ban is meant to save lives.
We really want to make clear that we are not against guns. We really aren't. We are pro-safety, and there's a way to get that done.
Illinois passed the assault weapons ban after a gunman killed seven people and injured dozens more at a Highland Park, Illinois, 4th of July parade last year. Congressman Hank Johnson of Georgia says it's time to pass the Judiciary Act to expand the Supreme Court.
A 6-3 far-right supermajority on the United States Supreme Court threatens our rights, our democracy, and our planet.
Johnson and fellow Democrats want 4 seats added for a total of 13 justices. They say it will better protect the nation against partisan rulings like last year's overturning of Roe v. Wade. Book publisher Penguin Random House and free speech organization PEN America have filed a lawsuit against a Pensacola, Florida school district. They allege the district violated the First Amendment by removing more than 150 books, of which 60% dealt with race or LGBTQ issues. Washington Governor Jay Inslee has signed a major new drug policy to keep controlled substances illegal while encouraging prosecutors to divert cases for addiction treatment. I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Early in May, the New York State Legislature finally passed its new $229 billion state budget. It included $40 million for funding the New York State Public Campaign Finance Program, which is a really big deal, but it almost didn't happen. In 2022, the legislature passed a public funding of elections program, which matches donations of $5 to $250 for statewide or legislative offices. How much of a match depends on the office and the donation amount, and varies from a 6-to-1 match to 12-to-1. But to claim it, candidates must first prove they're viable by raising matchable donations from a certain number of voters. For state assembly, that's only 75 voters and $6,000. But for governor, that's 5,000 matchable contributions and $500,000. These amounts are calculated separately for the state primary and general election. To pay for it, the Public Campaign Finance Program had asked for $114 million. But whether the legislature would fund the program at all was in question. In the end, it received $39.5 million, $25 million in matching funds, and $14.5 million for administering the program. Still, it's the largest program of its kind in the country and will be in place for 2024. And it will be a huge step in breaking candidates' dependence on special interest money. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
If you would like to be on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM, now's your chance. Want to fulfill a long-time or newly emerging desire to be on the radio? Want to become part of the community conversations on Waveform's WGXC 90.7 FM radio for open ears? You have an idea for a short recurring segment? Tune into a Zoom meeting May 30th at 6 p.m. online. Contact content at WGXC.org to register, and with any questions, but we would love as many voices as possible to be on the radio at WGXC, and this is your chance. We are tuning in the flora and the fauna at Wave Farm. Sounds of several WGXC web streams, Quintron's Weather Warlock, Quintron's Traffic Sacks, the test site for Acoustic Commons open mic in the woods at Wave Farm, the Zach Poff's Pond Station microphone at the bottom of the Wave Farm pond, the solar radio exhibit, the Here Goes Radio telescope. And we're recalling the plants and animals that have starred this week at Wave Farm. Yesterday I walked out of the radio studio around 6 o'clock and running down the stream in front of the Wave Farm Study Center was a medium-sized raccoon. I said hello and it ran under the culvert and into the woods. With less rain this week, the grass has not grown quite as quickly as it was massively coming up last week. But the sound of lawnmowers have been humming in the distance around the property all week as people try to catch up with the quick growth. Also, lots of birds in the area. I heard lots of bird sounds in the cold weather and during the cold snap we've had. This has been the WGXC Wave Farm Flora and Fauna Report. Tune in every week for updates on the birds, animals, fishes, and more at Wave Farm. Or tune in on your own at wavefarm.org. Click on the listen button.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We're joined by Bob Cohen, who is the Policy and Research Director for Citizen Action of New York, based here in the Capital District. Bob is also quite active, I believe, on the steering committee of New York Renews, a broad-based coalition around climate issues, a lot of EJ and community groups. Bob, you know, we have about 3 weeks left in the state legislative session. I know some of the New York Renews Citizen Action agenda did get done in the state budget, but, you know, what are your plans or the climate community's plans for the next few weeks to try to get the legislature to act?
So the legislature did do some good things, as you said, on climate. For example, they did a ban on non-electric buildings, that's new buildings, and set a path in motion for some of the worst polluting state-owned buildings to be decarbonized. But there's still a huge amount to do. The task we have ahead to get to 100% renewables in New York State is still massive. So some of the things that we're calling for, and these are just a list of some of our priorities. There are others that other great proposals other people have put forth. There's something called the New York Heat Act, which aligns the Public Service Commission's administration of gas facilities with the Climate Act, because most of the public service law was written way, way, way before we were aware of climate damage. We're concerned about funding the climate transformation and also dealing with climate damages. In the past, the legislature, one of the big gaps is it didn't provide funding for climate. And there's a number of other things we could do in the Capital District, like make our state capital 100% renewable. So maybe we can go through this a little bit more in the rest of this interview.
Well, you mentioned money. I know that the state did set up a dedicated fund for what's called Cap and Invest, Cap and Trade, carbon pricing, but didn't really get into the specifics of that. I know New York Renews and others like Nyberg have been talking about the Climate Superfund Act to charge the biggest, largest emitters of greenhouse gases for it. How is the funding coming, particularly, you know, this goal of trying to get 35% at least to benefit, invest in EJ, environmental justice, and low-income communities?
So the interesting thing about the 35-40% provision, from my perspective, that you just mentioned, I mean, its goal is really admirable. It says, as you just said, that 35, a minimum of 35 with a goal of 40% of energy funding should go to certain communities called disadvantaged communities, basically low-income communities, communities of color. But the problem is that there's no direction that's been given by the two state agencies who write the state budgets on how to do that. So without that kind of direction, it's sort of hard to say that they've really done their job, and it's hard to see whether they're really going to do that. Because, you know, having worked for a small state agency in the past, I know that we did our budget way back then with the direction the Division of Budget and the governor told us. We didn't have the total freedom of just spending whatever how we wanted to spend it. So that I think that's a really important thing that has to be addressed.
Well, you mentioned 100% renewable capital bill, and I know that you've been involved with this Sheridan Hollow Alliance Renewable Energy, which, you know, defeated the proposal by the governor, NYPA OGS, to add on more frack gas turbines into the Sheridan Hollow neighborhood. Now, that's a neighborhood, low-income, community of color, for a century has put up with pollution. First, they were burning, I guess, coal and oil and garbage and gas in order to heat the state capital complex, now the Empire State Plaza. How committed does the state actually seem to finally ending this pollution in this neighborhood?
Well, I think the answer is the state has taken some preliminary steps. For example, putting in LED lighting and, you know, talking about electrification. But the bottom line is we did, as you said, many of us defeated these new gas turbines, but they left in the existing turbines. And there doesn't, while they're doing a study now, they certainly have not made a commitment to reduce, to fully take out those old existing turbines that are polluting the neighborhood. So we really feel like we have to push them. And that's why we have the Renewable Capital Act sponsored by area representatives Breslin and Fahey to really mandate they do that. We want them to do it in 3 years.
Now, I know that on May 25th, I believe it's Thursday, New Yorker News, Citizen Action, PAWS, a bunch of groups are doing a press conference at the State Street entrance of the Capitol under the overhang at noon. You know, what's going to be your message there? And do you want, you know, people to show up at the press conference?
Absolutely. First, in terms of our message, we're going to emphasize some of the things I said before, basically the undone things in the state budget. And I would say really quickly, we want climate polluters to pay. We want to pass the New York Heat Act, and we want to pass the Renewable Capital Act. And we absolutely want people to come. And if they want to, it's going to be held at 12 noon, Thursday, May 25th. And if I have another minute, I could even give the registration information.
Well, you are going to have a minute. I just want to put, you call it the New York Heat Act. I understand one of the issues is that for decades, basically all the ratepayers, all the people, you know, paying our utility bills have been subsidized. And when people want to hook up to the gas pipeline, you know, that we subsidize that, which can actually cost tens of thousands of dollars. I think it's, if you're within 100 feet of an existing hookup, you get it for free, and that rolls into the rate base. So I think, isn't one of the issues is to try to stop, you know, all the different ways that we're the Public Service Commission is subsidizing, you know, both gas maintenance, but also gas expansion in the state?
Yes, yes, absolutely. And it's pretty ironic that we have this climate law that says we have to reduce greenhouse gases 85% by 2050, but the legislature left it in the existing public service law, which basically says the primary obligation of the Public Service Commission is to provide safe and reliable service. And that's under the gas system. We have to change that confusion in the state law and make sure that the Public Service Commission is working with the other state agencies to reduce greenhouse gases.
So I'm going to give you the chance if people want to RSVP for May 25th to do that. But the second question is, right before the budget was supposed to be passed, you know, Governor Hochul seemed to be getting cold feet on the idea of carbon pricing and basically backed away from really looking at the short-term impact of methane from natural gas. Where do we think Governor Hochul's heart is at the moment in the last minute with respect to climate action? And how do people sign up for May 25th? Do they can just show up without signing up?
Yeah, you don't have to sign up, but if you'd like to, and frankly, it gives us an idea of how many people are coming, but you can do this. And for people who know what Bitly is, it's a way of getting on the web simply. So you log on to the New York News webpage by typing in bit.ly, bit.ly/rally CJJP 2023, bit.ly/rally CJJP 2023, and then select the Capital District event. And then you can register. So, you know, getting to your question about where Governor Hochul is, you know, it's hard to say. I mean, she's torn in different directions. On the one hand, I take her as being sincere that she wants to address climate change. But on the other hand, she's pretty heavily influenced by some of the existing industries like the utility companies who are telling her go slow or really go in such a manner so as to protect our existing way of making profit. And the reality is we can't do that. We can't keep building pipelines.
Well, thank you, Bob Cohen, Citizen Action, New Yorker News, May 25th, noon, State Street entrance to the Capitol. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Andrea Meckel reports for Porcupine Soup that all school budgets in Greene County were approved by voters at the May 16th election. All town library and bus purchasing propositions passed. In the Cairo-Durham School Board election, incumbent Steve Brandow finished first with 298 votes. Incumbent Bernadette Gavin Palmieri was second with 231 votes, and Nicole Plank took the third seat with 223 votes. Incumbent Claudia Zucker finished just 2 votes out of the running with 221 votes, and Aniston Keff received 134 votes. In Catskill, incumbent Deborah Johnson received 406 votes, incumbent Ryan Oswald got 247 votes, and Joseph Izzo won 242 votes. Lee Heim with 235 votes, Henry Hay with 226 votes, and Alan Kulser with 27 votes finished out of the running. In Coxsackie Athens District, incumbent Jamie Dorr received the most votes with 475, and incumbents Tara Backner and Ina Griffin-Gulizon also were reelected with 459 and 455 votes, respectively. Sam Anderson also got 355 votes, too few to win a seat. In Greenville, Kelly Hubicki and incumbent Eric Herbstritt won with 749 votes and 621 votes, with Robert Pondicio's 388 votes not enough to win a seat. In Hunter Tansville, Courtney Brady won the 5-year term with 257 votes, and Sarah Pelizzari took the 2-year term with 254 votes. Wyndham Ashland Jewett did not report vote totals, but Heidi Schwartz was elected over Salvatore Ciangula. Read more about this story in Porcupine Soup. Raymond Pignon reports in Columbia Green Media that the results of the Columbia County School elections May 16th, where all budgets and propositions passed. In the Germantown vote for school board members, David Riffenberg got 211 votes, and Teresa Repko received 167 to win seats, with Cheryl Del Pozo Kozluga finishing third with 71 votes. In Hudson, Kirsten Gustafsson received 226 votes, and Calvin Lewis got 251 for 2 seats, with 44 other write-in votes. In New Lebanon, officials did not release vote totals, but claimed Sharon Powers and Kyle Caffell won 3-year terms, while Tom Rigg got a 2-year term. In Taconic Hills voting, Richard Vibrock with 378 votes and Ronald Morales with 329 votes won 5-year terms, while Margaret Halsey received 290 votes for a 3-year term, and Joshua Loeffler lost with 136 votes. In Chatham, David Friedman with 357 votes, Marianne Perro with 352 votes, and Matthew Fish with 332 votes all won 3-year terms. At Ichabod Crane Schools, 3 seats went to Kelly Fernbach with 752 votes, Megan Paliza with 567 votes, and Christopher Scoville with 537 votes, while Melissa Miller with 524 votes and John Chandler with 503 votes finished behind. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Mid-Hudson News reports that the Ulster County Legislature on May 16th voted to spend $357,000 to purchase a military-grade vehicle for the sheriff's office. Legislators voting to buy the Bearcat G3 armored vehicle cited the fact that there have been 225 mass shootings around the country in 136 days this year. Legislature Chairwoman Tracy Wartell said, and I quote, "I cannot in good conscience put our officers in harm's way, sending them to face weapons of war created for the sole purpose of killing human beings without the proper tools. Gun violence is not inevitable, but it is the status quo. We prepare our children by providing armed officers and having them practice active shooter drills. We hope that they will come home safely," end quote. Ulster lawmakers also voted to spend more money to put deputy sheriffs in both the Roundout Valley and Onteora school districts. Read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow. And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Thursday, it will be sunny with a high near 64 degrees. Thursday night, mostly clear with a temperature low of around 42 degrees. And on Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 70 degrees. And Friday night, a chance of showers after 2 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 50 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties. WGXC has a new call-in number for anyone to leave a 3-minute message that we will play back on the air. Listeners can leave as many 3-minute audio letters to the editor at 518-212-7509 as they want, and WGXC will let your voice be heard on the local airwaves. The number again to call in and record a 3-minute message that will be played back on 90.7 FM is 518-212-7509.
Next, we hear Yodeling Slits from Aaron Dillaway and Lucretia Dalt, their 2021 album Lucy and Aaron.